Chapter 16. I'd been in hairier situations than this one. Actually, it's sort of depressing, thinking how many times I'd been in them. But if experience had taught me anything, it was this. No matter how screwed up things are, they can get a whole lot worse. Case in point, our little standoff with Supertart. Thomas shouted and darted to his left, across my view of Lara. As he went, I reached for the pistol tucked into the back of his jeans. Judging by the grip, it was semi-automatic, maybe one of those fancy German models that are as tiny as they are deadly. I grabbed it, and felt pretty slick to be doing the teamwork thing, but Thomas's damn jeans were so tight that the gun didn't come loose. I leaned too far in the effort and wound up sprawling on my side. All I got for my oh-so-clever maneuver was scraped fingertips and a good view of Lara Wraith in gunfighting mode. I heard a shot go past, a kind of humming buzz in the air that provided an accent to the mild, barking report of the pistol. There were several shots in the space of a second or three. Two of them hit Thomas with ugly sounds of impact, one in the leg and a second in the chest. At the same time, he hurled a small ring of keys at Lara, and it probably saved my life. She swatted them aside with the gun that had been trained on me. It gave me a precious second or two, and it was time enough to bring up my blasting rod and loose a panicked strike at her. It was sloppy as hell, even with the blasting rod to help me focus my will, and instead of a wrist-thick beam of semi-coherent flame, it came out in a cone of fire maybe 30 feet across. That made a big noise. A thunderous, thumping explosion as the heat displaced cool night air. Lara Wraith had the reflexes that were depressingly common in all of the vampire types, and she darted out of the way of the flames. She leveled both guns at me as she did, blazing away like in those Hong Kong action movies. But evidently, even Lara's superhuman skill wasn't enough to overcome surprise, lateral movement, a firestorm, and spike heels. God bless the fashion industry and the blind luck that protects fools and wizards. She missed. I shook out my shield bracelet and hardened my will into a wall of unseen but solid force in front of me. The last few shots from Lara's guns actually struck the shield, illuminating it in a flash of blue and white energy. I held the shield firmly in place and readied the blasting rod again and faced Lara squarely. The vampire slipped into the shadows between the nearest building and a pair of huge industrial tanks and vanished from sight. I padded forward to Thomas, keeping the shield up and in the general direction of where Lara had disappeared. "Thomas," I hissed. "Thomas, are you all right?" It was a long beat before he replied, his voice weak and shaking. "I don't know. It hurts. You've been shot. It's supposed to hurt." I kept my eyes on the shadows, warily extending my senses as much as I could. "Can you walk?"
"Don't know," he panted. "Can't get my breath. Can't feel my leg."
I flicked my eyes down to him and back out again. Thomas's black T-shirt was plastered to his chest on one side. He'd taken a hit in the lung, at least. If a major blood vessel had been struck, he was in trouble, vampire or not. The White Court were a resilient bunch, but in some ways they were just as fragile as the human beings they fed upon. He could heal up fast. I'd seen Thomas recover from broken ribs in a matter of hours. But if he bled out from a severed artery, he'd die, like anyone else.
"Just hold still," I said. "Don't try to move until we know where she is."
"That'll get her," Thomas panted. "The old sitting duck ploy."
"Give me your gun," I said.
"Why?"
"So that the next time you start talking, I can shoot your wise ass."
He started to laugh, but it broke into agonized, wet coughing.
"Damn it,"
I muttered, and crouched down beside him. I set my blasting rod aside and slipped my right arm and one knee behind his back, trying to hold him vertical from the waist up.
"You'd better get moving. I'll manage."
"Would you shut up?" I demanded.
I tried to ascertain the extent of his injuries with my free hand, but I'm no doctor. I found the hole in his chest, felt the blood coming out. The edges of the wound puckered and gripped at my hand. Well, I told him, your wound sucks. Here. I took his right hand and pressed it hard against the hole. Keep your hand there, man. Keep the pressure on. I can't hold it and carry you out, too.
Forget carrying me,
he rasped.
Don't be an idiot. She'll kill us both.
I can hold the shield, I said.
If you can't return fire, it won't do you much good. Get clear. Call the cops, then come back for me.
You're delirious, I said. If I left him there alone, Lara would finish him. I got my right shoulder under his left arm and hauled him to his feet. He wasn't as heavy as I would have expected, but dragging him up like that had to have hurt him. The pain locked the breath in his throat.
Come on, I growled. You've got a good leg. Help me.
His voice had become hollow, somehow ghostly, barely more than a whisper.
Just go. I can't.
You can. Shut up and help me. I started walking as fast as I could back toward the street end of the industrial park. I kept my shield bracelet up, focusing my will into a barrier all around us. It wasn't as strong as a more limited directional shield, but my eyes couldn't be everywhere, and a smart opponent would shoot me in the back. Thomas would have been screaming if he could have gotten his breath. Over the next minute or two, his face went white. I mean, even more so than usual. He'd always been pale, but his skin took on the gray tone of a corpse, sooty hollows forming under his eyes. Even so, he managed to help me. Not much, but enough that I could keep us both moving without stumbling. I started to think that we were going to make it back safely when I heard running footsteps and a woman rounded the corner ahead of us, her pale skin glowing in the dimness. I cursed, pushing more will into the shield, and crouched down, letting Thomas collapse ungraciously onto the gravel parking lot. I fumbled for his gun, found it, and whipped the weapon up. I flicked off the safety with my thumb, took a half-second to aim, and pulled the trigger.
No!
Thomas gasped at the last possible instant. He leaned hard against me just as the gun went off. The barrel wavered, and the shot kicked up sparks on a concrete retaining wall 50 feet away. Panicked, I lined up the weapon again, though I knew it would be a useless gesture. I might have taken her out with a surprise shot, but there was no chance at all that I could outshoot Lara Wraith in a direct confrontation. But it wasn't Lara. I couldn't see very far in the dimness, but Inari stumbled to a halt only a few feet shy of me, her eyes wide and her mouth open.
Oh, my God, she cried. Thomas, what happened? What have you done to him?
Nothing, I said. He's been hurt. For the love of Pete, help me. She hesitated for a second, her eyes wide, and then rushed forward to Thomas.
Oh, my God, there's blood. He's bleeding.
I shoved my blasting rod at her. Hold this, I snapped.
What did you do to him?
She demanded. She had begun weeping.
Oh, Thomas.
I felt like screaming in frustration, and I tried to look at every possible place Lara might be all at the same time. My instinct screamed that she was getting closer, and I wanted nothing more than to run away.
I told you nothing. Just get moving and open the doors for me. We have to get back inside and call 911.
I bent down to pick up Thomas again. Inari Wraith screamed in grief and rage. Then she used my blasting rod with both hands to clout me on the back of the neck with so much force that it snapped in half. Stars exploded over my vision, and I didn't even feel it when my face hit the gravel. Everything got real confused for a minute or two, and when I finally started stirring, I heard Inari crying.
Lara, I don't know what happened. He tried to shoot me, and Thomas isn't awake. He might be dead.
I heard footsteps on the gravel, and Lara said, Give me the gun.
What do we do?
Inari said. She was still crying. Lara worked the slide on the gun with a couple of quiet clicks, checking the chamber. Get inside, she said, her tone firm and confident. Call emergency services and the police. Now. Inari got up and started to run off, leaving Thomas and me alone with the woman who had already half killed him. I tried to get up, but it was difficult. Everything kept spinning around. I managed to get to one knee just as a cold, slithery feeling washed down my spine. The three vampires of the Black Court did not announce their presence. They simply appeared, as though formed from the shadows. One of them was the one-eared vamp I had smacked with the holy water balloon. On either side of him stood two more Black Court vamps, both male, both dressed in funeral finery, and both of teenage proportions. They hadn't been living corpses for very long. There were lividity marks on the arms and fingers of the first, and their faces hardly looked skeletal at all. Like the maimed vampire, they had long, dirty fingernails. Dried blood stained their faces and throats, and their eyes were filmy, stagnant pools. Inari screamed a horror movie scream and stumbled back to Lara. Lara sucked in a sharp breath, bringing the gun to a point-down firing stance, spinning in a slow circle to watch each of the Black Court vamps in turn.
"Well, well," rasped the maimed vampire. "What luck! The wizard and three whites to boot. This will be entertaining."
At which point I felt another, stronger slither of vile and deadly magical energy. The Molochio. It was forming again, more powerfully than before. And I sensed that the deadly spell was already near and gathering more vicious power as it headed my way. Still dazed, I couldn't do a damn thing about it.
"Kill them," the Black Court vampire whispered. "Kill them all."
See what I mean? It's just like I said. Things can always get worse.